stand for the reading of the word of the Lord, St. Matthew, chapter number 25. Matthew, chapter number 25, starting at verse number 31. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter number 25. I'm going to stay right here for a few minutes, Alan, and then I'll go to the other one. Thank you. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when we saw the sick or in prison and came unto thee? The king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 41 is my text tonight. Christ says and declares, Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. May the Lord bless you as you're seated tonight with the help of the Lord. I simply want to preach to you about a place called hell. A place called hell. If I had my choice as a preacher of the gospel, I would never choose my topic that I've chosen for tonight. In all reality, I frankly admit to you, I do not enjoy preaching about hell. It is a discomforting thought. It is a troubling doctrine. But to neglect to preach about it does not change its existence nor its severity one iota. Possibly more now than it ever in our lifetimes, the doctrine of hell is neglected, watered down, philosophized away to where it is trivial and somewhat irrelevant for many, many people. But for you and I tonight, the Bible, the Word of God declares that we must, and we shall give credence to the doctrine of a horrible place called hell. For even in my text tonight, Jesus alludes to the fact that no mere mortal should have ever dawned in this region of the damned, for it was simply created for the devil and his angels. So for me and you to contemplate tonight that we know someone that is headed to hell is a utmost troubling thought. but one that I feel we should give greater time for than we probably realize. The doctrine of hell. It may be disregarded, it may be neglected. Some say, well, then it must not be real. I challenge you to search the bookstores. I challenge you to scan the best-selling sermon books. You'll not find books and sermons about hell. But yet the Bible teaches us that there is a broad road that leads to destruction. And there is a narrow road that leads to life. I don't know which road that you are on tonight, but the majority of people are not on the narrow road. They are on the broad road. Those were the words of Christ. And as we look among the billions of people on planet Earth tonight, the vast majority of them are headed to a place called hell. And it's more than people that we don't know. It is more than the people that we're sending money to for foreign missions. It's people you work with. It's people you live on the street with. It's family members. It's people that come to church every Sunday. People that have not given their heart and their life to the Lord. Can I tell you tonight that hell will never, ever be satisfied? Never. Hell at times has swallowed entire cities. Sodom and Gomorrah was swallowed at one time, but hell was not satisfied. Noah, preaching righteousness for over 100 years about an impending judgment of God. And 100 years, all he can save is his family. Hell swallows up the entire known world. But yet hell is not satisfied. Hell wants every young person, every mom and dad, every saint of God, every elder in this building tonight, every sinner. Hell is desiring to swallow your life. The only thing that keeps you and I out of hell is not that we know where the church is located. And it's not that we sing the songs or we're acquainted with Sunday school. It's the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to our heart and our life. You may feel like Noah in his day that no one believes in hell, but it does not change the impending judgment of God. For Noah preached righteousness, but God swallowed this world up in a fury of his vengeance. And there is coming a day when God again will judge this world. Can I preach to you that Jesus said there was a hell? In my text, he talks about a place of torment. Matthew 5, he talks about being cast into hell. Jesus believed it's a place called hell. The apostles believed there was a hell, for Paul said so in 2 Thessalonians and chapter number 1. He talked about being punished with everlasting destruction. The apostle Peter believed in hell, for he said in 2 Peter and 2 and 4 that God spared not the angel but cast them down to hell. John, the revelator, believed in hell. For in Revelation 20 and 15, he said that if your name is not written in the book of life, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Friend, you may not believe in hell, but can I tell you that Christ and the apostles and the greatest preachers down through the centuries have believed in a very literal place called hell. God's justice demands that there is a hell. God's word confirms that there is a hell. In John 5 and 28, they which are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They which have done good unto the resurrection and life they which have done evil unto the resurrection of the damnation. Go with me just for a second into eternity. Think about every sermon that you've heard about heaven. One day soon the trumpet is going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. We which are alive and remain are going to be called up to meet them in the air. Can I tell you tonight that if you're saved, you've got cancer in your body, I believe when that trumpet sounds and we rise to meet the Lord in the air, how many believe you're saying goodbye to cancer? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You might have diabetes, but can I tell you when that trumpet sounds, how many believe Valley is going to say goodbye to diabetes? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many have a loved one that's gone on that died in faith? You believe you're going to see them again. Their body is going to be resurrected. There's not going to be any wheelchairs. There will be no crutches in heaven. Matter of fact, if you've got glasses on right now, friend, it's heaven's going to be so wonderful, you're not even going to need the glasses that are upon your face tonight. Heaven is going to be a glorious, glorious place. Jesus said that they're going to be resurrected. They're going to be brought forth unto the goodness of life. But he also said, not only will they be brought forth of that which is good, but that which is evil. You see, throughout eternity, that body of the sinner is going to be resurrected and then going to be cast into hell. And just as a righteous person will be immortalized and prepared for the presence of heaven, so the hand of God will prepare the body of the sinner to be immortalized, to become a resident of the city of the damned, the doomed, and the dying. It's troubling, it's perplexing, and it should be. Have we lost our fear of hell? When we're unwilling to witness for the Lord, when we're unwilling to become evangelistic, when we are lacking a concern for others, we have lost our fear of hell. When personal evangelism and witnessing and passing out tracts is boring, when we'd rather shout than evangelize, when we would rather run than witness, we have lost the fear of hell. Because it's all about me. And it's not about those that are going to hell. When I lose my spiritual tenderness in the house of God, when I can sing Amazing Grace but not think about the amazing grace of Jesus Christ, when I think about He set me free and never remember the pit out of which Christ raised me up, I am losing the fear of hell. I am becoming comfortable in this world. I am losing my spiritual sensitivity to the presence of God. When the Holy Ghost can move throughout the auditorium and I do not feel stirred to worship and I do not feel stirred to pray and I never see my need to grow closer to God and I never feel convicted by the presence of God, I've lost the reality. There's a place called hell. When I'm longing more for this world, when the church can cancel Sunday night as most churches did last week for nothing but a pigskin classic, the church has ceased to be the church. When churches can fill with thousands on Sunday morning but can't get a handful on Sunday night because somebody wants to go to the lake, somebody wants to have this, and somebody wants to be doing this, and the church has so many things to do, we have lost the reality of a place called hell. Jesus said, in this region would be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. If for but a few seconds tonight hell was ripped open and the penetrating sounds of that city would pierce our ears, I dare say it would drive us to the altar. If we heard the screams and the cries of agony, if we heard that weeping and wailing, drive the church once again to the altar. You say, I don't believe that Christ would send anybody to hell. I don't really believe the love of God would allow there to be a hell. Friend, if there is no hell, God's justice would never be appeased. But Calvary would be a mockery as well. Why the blood of Jesus? Why the atonement? Why Golgotha? Why the nails in his hands and his feet? Why? Why the ridicule? Why the torture? Why the borrowed tomb? Why the shed blood? Because Muhammad and Buddha and any other religion, they cannot save us and keep us out of hell. But it is the gift of Calvary. It is the gift of life. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that can solitary atone the sins of a man. And without that shed blood, God's word said in Revelation 21 and 8, here is who goes to hell: the fearful, they go to hell. It's not my words. Those are words found in your Bible. Revelation 21, verse number 8. It's a list of who goes to hell. The fearful, they shall have their part in the lake of fire. The unbelieving go to hell. There is no purgatory. There is no annihilation. There is no soul sleep. The unbelieving wake up in hell. There is no in between. There is no paying the priest to get them out of purgatory. It is forever settled. They go to hell. The abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars. I said all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. It's not a fairy tale. I wish to goodness everybody went to heaven. I wish I could preach the gospel that everybody that dies goes to heaven, but it's not that way. I wish the devil and his angels were the only ones that ever went to hell, but it's not that way. And God help me and you to understand that if we don't live right, if we don't live pure and sanctified, if there's any sin in our life, we are not going to that city. And I stood in the pantry a few weeks ago and passed out some groceries to a family in our city that is needy. And mom and dad were Catholics that have raised a girl that has enough religions inside of her to, she doesn't know what she believes. But what she does not want to believe, there is a hell. She doesn't want to believe that. I convinced her to believe that the words of Christ are the words of God. And I said, if Christ stated there was a hell, can you not put faith in the words of Christ? I showed her the Bible. I showed her what Christ said concerning hell. But she would not believe it. She said, there's no way that I'm going to the same place that Hitler and Mussolini and Bin Laden are going.
There's no way that God is going to send me to that same place. I said, young lady, the Bible said that no sin will enter that city. You're not going to that city unless the blood of Jesus Christ has made you pure. There is no way to the Father but through Jesus Christ. And God is not sending you to hell. You are sending yourself to hell. You're choosing to reject Jesus. And if you reject Jesus, if you reject heaven, you're choosing hell. Whether she ever bows a knee in prayer, I don't know. But I do know there is a hell. And if she does not confess the Lord Jesus Christ to be her Savior, the same God that will not allow any sin in that city will, in fact, send her to hell. It is not a fairy tale. It is not philosophy. It is not a scare tactic to keep people coming to church. Hell is the punishment for sin. Hell is the punishment for those that reject Christ. Three times in Mark chapter number 9, the words are stated, the fire is not quenched. The fire is not quenched. The fire is not quenched. There are no fire escapes. There are no exit doors. There are no altar calls. There are no gospel services. There's no chance to get out. None. That's why tonight, if you think there's one chance, your heart might not be right with God. Young person, run to this altar. Ma'am, sir, run to this altar. Give your heart to Jesus. Let him bathe you in his blood and write your name in the Lamb's book of life. That those tragic words, depart from me, for I never, never knew you. Hell. How troubling. How difficult to contemplate the emptiness of hell. That not only those mass murderers, but the tragic failures of the Bible. Saul. Judas, Demas. What about the rich man that Jesus introduced us to in Luke chapter 16? That begged for one thing, just a drop of water. And for the last 2,000 years, you know what it is? It's day number one of his eternal sentence. It's day number one. He's never getting out. His sentence will never be commuted. There are no pardons. You don't serve 25 years and get out. You don't serve a lifetime and get out. What we must understand tonight, this body is going to perish. But that soul that is inside of me will never, ever die. 10,000 years from now, you're still going to be alive. 1,000,000 years from now, you'll still be alive. Oh, I pray to God we'll all be shouting around the throne of glory. But can you imagine the converse to that story and the tragic failure? By chance, one of us goes to hell. 1,000 years. 10,000 years. It's like it's the first day. It's eternal. It's everlasting. And like Spurgeon said, on every chain of darkness is written forever, 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 forever. We're constrained by time. We're limited by time, and that's all that's in our mind. But my God, eternity in hell, it's forever, it's forever, it's forever. Young people that go to hell, it's forever, it's forever. The mom that plays church, the daddy that backslides, it's forever, it's forever. The grandpa that would never get saved, it's forever, it's forever, it is forever. Oh God, stir us. Where will you be? The songwriter asked the question. 1,000,000 years from now. Where will you be? Hell. We've tried to picture it in our minds. The screams, the torments, the flames, the cries of agony, the faces, the torture. The worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. The weeping, the wailing, the gnashing of teeth. Where God judges sin forever. Pierce through those flames just for a second. Whose face is that in the fire that you and I see? When those flames are, and those embers are glittering against that black drop of God's judgment, whose face is in that fire that I see? Is it preachers that I have known that have backslid? Is it young people that I have seen walk away from God? Is it moms and dads that I have preached to? Who is it? What faces are in that fire that I see? Is it those of you contemplating tonight, I can do it and get by. Nobody will ever find out. It's not that big a deal. That the church is too legalistic. Whose face is in that fire that you see? Is it the fearful? Is it the unbelieving? Is it the lie? Whose face? Whose silhouette is that? It's people that you and I know. It's people that you and I have witnessed to. God forbid it's anybody we've ever shouted with. Is it the face of that girl that gave me that picture from the bookstore on Pastor's Appreciation Day? That for years would not even want to look at it without crying? Whose face is in that fire? Is it the lukewarm teenager that was always trying to live on the fence? Whose face is in that fire? Is it the dad who was more interested in a few more dollars and the latest gadgets and gizmos and toys? And he got more sucked up in the world than he did the things of God. Whose face is in that fire? Is it that mother that during the day was too engrossed with the things of the day and the cares of this world and the soap operas and the romance of this world? Whose face is in that fire forever? 1,000,000 years from now, where will you be? Where will you be? Where will you be? There shall in no wise enter anything that defileth, neither whatsoever that worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. Let me check tonight. Is your name in the book of life? Come on, Brother Mark, tonight, if you would. Is your name in the book of life? Is it here? Matter of fact, the Bible talks about names that have been blotted out. Can you imagine? Names that at one time were in the book of life. Now, the page is empty. Go check. Go check and see. Is your name? Is it there? Is it there? My name's on the roll of Sunday school. It doesn't matter. Is it in the book of life? Well, I sang on the church CD. Big deal. Is your name? Is it in the book of life? Is it in the book of life? Malachi says that we've robbed God in our tithes and offerings. There's going to be people that go to hell just because they were stingy. Thieves and robbers. Where will you be? Tonight, if I could choose my topics, I'd never choose to preach about hell. I want everybody to go to heaven. And because I do, let me preach to you tonight that you've got to choose one or the other. You have to choose life. You have to choose Jesus. Not to choose Jesus is to reject Him. The awful reality of a place called hell. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Father, I love you.